All right, we today are going to be talking about true love. Is everything going good up there, boys, both recorders? Two out of three ain't bad. Okay. Our third one ain't working today. So we're going to look at the topic of true love in honor of Valentine's Day, which is past, in case some of you guys forgot it's Valentine's Day, right? It was last Friday. But love is one of those complicated things. I don't know how it works for you, but I have two feelings, three love, but I mean sometimes I have, you know, either I'm hungry or I'm tired. Those are two feelings that I go by most of the time, you know, as a man. But I do have love and stuff sometimes, but it's hard to navigate through that and understand it all the well. But, you know, I found that human love can be like the weather. You know, extreme changes seems like they happen. One day, there can be a 40-degree shift. We had like a 40-degree shift this week, didn't we, in the weather? Just how that happened. You know, one day it can be like you're on the equator and everything's going real good, and the next day you're on a polar ice cap, you know, in your relationship. But true love, or the God kind of love, you know, isn't like that. It doesn't change. God love is stable and it's never changing, and it brings both hope and security to our life. So the passage of scripture I'd like to look at today is in Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39. Romans 8, 35 to 39. And it says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered.'" But then it says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you're the teacher, and we want you to be able to reveal the things that we each need to receive today. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, any preconceived or misguided ideas. We put them under our feet. All the strongholds are broken. And Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, love is kind of complicated. We have human love, and then we have God's kind of love. God's kind of love, just a little brief explanation about it before we get started here, is God doing what is best for man and not necessarily what man desires. We want blessing, but God wants forgiveness and relationship. True love doesn't seek the hand, but it seeks the heart. We tend to base love on blessing rather than relationship. And that's the wrong kind of measuring stick. And I want us to change our tape measure or change our measuring stick on how we view God and in our life and our interaction with Him. Because I think sometimes we can get to the place where things maybe don't go our way. And then we get to the place where we think that, well, God doesn't love me anymore, because these things are happening to me. And I want to show in Scripture today that God does love us, and love that He's going to love us no matter what. But blessings, on the other hand, are another case. So the first point I want to look at today is performance-based love. See, performance-based love. And see, there's a danger basing God's love based on our performance. You know, He will only love us if we do good. And see, the problem with you and I is that we'll never get good enough. There's nothing you can do to get good enough for God. That's why Jesus had to come. Now, here's where we get into trouble. I'm going to pick on us parents because I'm a parent and I know I've messed up myself. But the idea is that we tend to operate in performance-based love in all our relationships. And what happens then when we as a parent want to try to raise our children, sometimes we make the mistake, sometimes unknowingly, and sometimes just the fact that that's how maybe we were raised, but we infer that if our kids miss the mark, if they don't measure up, if they don't do exactly what we want them to do, then we don't love them. And we portray to them the image that if we want to be loved, then we're going to have to do what's right and we're going to have to do good. And I kid you not, one time, years ago, I watched a young mother talking to her child, probably 4 years old or 5 years old, who was, you know, a little mischievous, you know what I'm saying? And they actually come out and said that if they didn't obey, God wouldn't love them anymore. And, you know, number one, I hate it when people lie about God, because God's not like that. God's going to love us no matter what. It says, while we're yet sinners, God loved us. You know, it's all I could do not to straighten out the situation. But that's just tough. It's terrible. But we do that. We may not be as blatant as that and say that to our kids, but I do know as a parent, sometimes we can infer to them, and maybe it's their misunderstanding, but the fact that when they don't measure up or when they do something really bad, you know, that they get the impression that we don't love them anymore. And see, we have to be able to explain the difference. Before we explain it, we need to understand it, I guess. There's a difference between the love and the blessing of God. You know, God loves us no matter what. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're yet to do. But the blessing of God, on the other hand, sometimes, you know, is tied with the idea of obedience. And we get those two things confused. Now, sometimes God just blesses us just because He's God. How many has ever given something to their kids even though they didn't deserve it? I think we all have. You know, just because we love them, you know, in spite of themselves. But see, that love and blessing, they blur together. And if we don't learn how to separate those two, I think we can really mess up our kids. How many's messed up their kids before? I know I have. And still trying to straighten some of that out. But anyway, it gets better as you go along. You know, danger also of basing God's love on our experiences, which is His performance in our life. You know, I think, you know, everybody here would probably agree with me that God can do anything. We just sang a song about that. Nothing is impossible. I'll spare you. But, you know, the idea of, we know that God can do anything, but yet in our life, have you noticed God doesn't do everything? He doesn't do everything. You know, there's times then I wish He would have done something, but it seems like God did nothing. And so then I got to thinking, you know, does God love me? Because He didn't do this the way that I wanted. But that's when we need to step back in the situation and try to understand the idea that God, in His infinite wisdom, and sometimes can see the big picture. And we also know there's a devil out there trying to stop us. But, you know, there's a time, how many would, you know, if your two-year-old, you know, needs some help, you know, and they've done something, you know, you're more than likely going to help them out, you know. But if your 16-year-old is, and they're in trouble, and you know they can fix it themselves, are you going to step in and baby them and coddle them? Or do you want them to step up and start to grow in maturity? Hopefully we let them grow up a little bit. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I can't remember all the words, but there's helicopter moms and lawnmower, you know, they got all kinds of things about how parents don't let their kids, you know, deal with a lot of things they did. But, you know, they need to learn how to deal with life. You know, I've ridden on an airplane. Many people have. Have you ever felt turbulence before? I mean, you're just going right along and all of a sudden, boom, you know, it's only air. It's invisible, but how does it do that? You can't see it, but all of a sudden, boom, you feel something. And see, that's sometimes how life gets in our to us, that we can't really see what's coming, because whether we're going to accept it or not, bad things do happen to good people. And that's a fact. Bad things happen to good people. And we try to base our theology sometimes, which is a big mistake. We try to base it on our experiences. Well, poor old grandma had this problem happen, and she, you know, this, and, you know, she loved God. She went to church every week. That wouldn't mean she's paying attention. You know what I'm saying? You know, doesn't mean she really rightly divided the word of truth. But you know, Ben's poor old grandma had all this going on in her life. You know, I guess God's just like that. No, God's like the word. If we want to understand God, we got to look at the Bible. Don't look at other people all the time, especially if they're messing up. You know what I'm saying? You know, if somebody's really walking in the things of God and you can start to see some mountain-moving faith going on, yeah, we'll learn from that. But, you know, we have to understand that problems do happen in life. You know, some of our problems are self-induced. I hate self-induced problems. I do that to myself every now and then. Say something I should have not said, or, you know, maybe I didn't say something that I should have said, or I just do something stupid. And then I gotta fix that problem. You know, and I know that happens in life. I mean, as a pastor, I do counseling to help people. You know, some people wait just a little bit long before they come see me. You know, it's usually graveyard dead before they come and ask for help. And that's hard. You know, God's got a resurrection, but I look back, dude, I say, if you'd have came here 2 months ago, this would have been easy to fix. Just like that. But they wait too long. And so when we have a self-induced problem, don't wait to get it fixed. Then also there's people-induced problems. You know, there's a lot of stupid people in this world. And they do stupid stuff, and they do it to us. They do it to those around them, and that's just the way it is. We live in a world where there's a lot of mistakes happen. You know, I just think, you know, and some of the kids in the youth group watching how goofy they are sometimes, and then they get their permit, and then their driver's license. You just go, my land, they're going to be on the road now. You know, and I know they ain't got a lick of sense. You know, how are we going to deal with that? You know, I suppose just one of those deals you go through, but that's just the way it is. You know, so there's a lot of things that can happen. And lastly, we know there's Satan-induced problems. We know there's a devil out there. As sure as there's a God, there's a devil. We need to understand that. The devil will never like you. The devil is against you. The devil does not want you to feel the love of God and experience the love of God. Matter of fact, he wants to bring separation between you and God, like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve and Adam knew God they was connected. I mean, they just hung out with God. Along came the devil, or the serpent. And what he did, he brought a little wedge, and that's what the devil's going to do to you and I. He's going to try to get that wedge in there, so it divides us from God and gets us to start doubting God. Doubting God's love for us. And thinking, then you look around and, oh, they're so, look at all the stuff they got. They just have the happy life. Everything's going good for them. You know, it's not good for me. So God must not love me because I don't have what they have and I don't get to do what they get to do. And see, that's the ploy of the enemy. He gets in there and he tries to play man games or mind games. And then we need to be able to break that power because he's going to mess with us. See, none of us can really live in a bubble. I mean, granted, I believe there's a Holy Ghost bubble is what I call it, where we're really, you know, if we're prayed up and we're walking in the things of God, I believe that shield of faith is going to quench, you know, those fiery darts. But every now and then, you know, it seems like for whatever reason, we take our armor off. You know what I'm saying? We take down our shield, we lay it down, we put our sword down, we take our helmet of salvation off, and then we get to kind of thinking wrong. And, you know, none of us are like, you know, I don't know if you remember that show Seinfeld, but there was an episode with Bubble Boy. Anybody remember Bubble Boy? Bubble Boy had an immune issue, and he had to live in a bubble where it was no disease or germs or anything. And, of course, then George and his girlfriend at the time went to visit him, and George always messed up. But anyway, a big altercation happened, and they broke the bubble, and it was just a bad deal. But see, none of us can live in a bubble. You can't live immune from this world. We have to go out in the world. See, you know, back ages ago, a lot of the people, like the monks, they would go live in a monastery, and they'd stay away from the people and just kind of get into God themselves. To me, if you feel God's leading you to do that for a while, but I don't think that should be an eternal thing. How are you going to help people if you're in a monastery? How can you ever make life change in other people's lives if you're hiding away from the world? See, I believe that we, as Christians, need to let faith rise up inside of us, and we go out into a lost and dying world, and we let that light shine. And we make an impact on the world around us in whatever way we can. You know, if we can just help somebody just take one step closer to God, we've done a good thing. That's all we got. We don't have to know the whole Bible. We just got to know what we know and then share it. And you'll be surprised. God will start giving you more. And you'll start to grow in the things of God. Now, the next point is the idea of feeling-based love. And this is the one that probably messes us up the most. You know, I know that sometimes circumstances get to us, you know, and the things of this world. But feelings, they're tough. Like I said earlier, you know, feelings can change like the weather. And they do. That's why there's so many people with broken relationships and broken things going on in their life, is because their feelings changed. You know, I've watched people say, I love you, and then all of a sudden, a little bit later on, they don't love you anymore. Why? What changed? Feelings changed. To me, feelings can be kind of like a lie. You know, they're hot one day and cold the next. You know, kind of like I said, we had that temperature inversion here, about 40 degrees. How many here would like to be married to Mother Nature? Talk about moody. Now, men, you do not look at your wife right now. You just keep your eyes on me and you'll be safe. You won't get an elbow in the chest or in the ribs. But there's some people like that, aren't they? They're just moody. I mean, one minute they're just all happy, and the next minute, man, they're not. And it's just hard to cipher through. But that's just the feeling issue, isn't it? It's their feelings. Feelings lie. We can choose our feelings somewhat. We can control them. You're not going to control them totally, but we can try to get to the place where we want our feelings to be influenced by the right thing and not the wrong thing. You know, we can put ourselves in a bad place. Let's say you're at work and you know there's somebody there that's kind of a gossip hound. You know what I'm saying? And they're always stirring up the pot. How many know, don't, hope you're not that person, but everybody knows somebody like that, right? They just know they're a stirrer, they're a pot stirrer. And, you know, some little miss thing can happen, miscommunication, and they'll just stir that thing and stir that thing and make it bigger and bigger. Before you know it, everybody's mad at each other. But see, that's the feeling thing. Kind of like Hallmark misunderstandings, what I call it. You know, some of you guys probably watch Hallmark when your wife's not around, right? You know, you watch all those shows. No. Anyway, my wife and I, well, I don't mind them that bad, but there's always, they fall in love. You can tell they're kind of interested in each other. You know, they're looking to each other and, you know, just kind of making gaga eyes at each other. And just about when they're going to maybe ask each other to get married or do something, all of a sudden they walk in the room and the one that they love is talking to somebody else. And they just go, wow. In their feelings, they say, oh, they're really with that person, not me. And so this other person, they threaten to go back to their town again. They're going to leave. But then all of a sudden, you know, with good writers, they connect again and they straighten it all out. And they found out, well, that's really my brother. That's my boss or something. Total misunderstanding. You know, I think people can misunderstand things in their relationship, can't they? You know, that's why some people really get in some big fights. It's because there's misunderstandings. And see, we need to make sure that we step back and not get so excited about things, because wrong thinking will cause us to make really bad decisions in life, because our feelings can be manipulated. And like I mentioned, Satan's goal is to try to separate us from God, because God's love brings security. And everybody here today, if they could have one thing, I believe one of the things they would ask for is security in their life. And God's love brings that. And that's why, you know, have you ever watched your kids? When kids get to acting real squirrely and crazy, sometimes, well, other than being a teenager, that's another deal. But sometimes it's because they don't feel loved. They just need a little hug. You give them that hug and they'll settle right down. But see, they just are in a place in their life where they feel kind of weird. How feelings can manipulate you. I remember several times in my life, I wanted to quit my job based on not this one totally, maybe a couple times, but when I was an electrician working for different companies. I work for myself now, so it's kind of hard to quit, because when I quit, everything stops, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm the only one that does the work, because I'm the only employee. But those several times that happened, it was usually, you know, maybe I felt disrespected, Maybe I felt, you know, that didn't really like doing this kind of work, whatever the case may be. And my emotions would get involved. And then, I don't know about you, but I have an old Johnny Paycheck song I cue up every now and then. The old take this job and shove it, you know. I just, you know, put that in and I get all fired up. And, you know, fortunately, there's a person that lives inside of me called the Holy Ghost. And he stops me from doing really stupid things sometimes. Not all the time, but for the most part, really stupid things. And as I've looked back, and I've not allowed my emotions to carry me over into that place of unemployment, and I've just kind of humbled myself, I found out God revealed to me that that was His provision for my life. And if I would have quit that job, I would have put myself and my family in a bad financial situation. But see, my emotions, I really felt like I wanted to quit. But you can't trust your emotions, because your emotions will lie to you. Okay, lastly, I want to look at the idea of really now what true love's about. And hopefully, you know, we've all experienced true love. You know, we hopefully when you met your mate, you know, you figure that's true love and all that, but, you know, that's good. But see, true love to me gives the object of affection free will to love them back. Now, how would you, have you ever, don't raise your hand, have you ever loved somebody and they didn't love you back? That hurts. You know what I mean? I remember one time in school, boo-hoo, right? School problems. But I lived out in the country, so I didn't really get to go to town much. I just worked all the time. No, I didn't work all the time. But one summer, I was probably sixth grade or so. But I started going out with a girl right before school let out. And she was a little, in a tense, she was kind of out of my class anyway, hypothetically, but I don't know. I thought I was dating her all summer, you know. Never talked all summer. 3 months, we never talked. Went back to school in the fall. I found out she'd broke up with me during the summer, you know. I mean, here I thought she's going to sit with me on the bus. And, you know, she went and sat somewhere else. Then somebody said, yeah, you guys broke up. I go, when? You know, I didn't know that. Far as I knew, we were still together, man, all summer long. I was thinking, wow, I got a girlfriend, you know. But, you know, that's hard when you get rejected. But I know the fact that, and, you know, situations like that can affect you in your life, can't it? I made a vow no girl was ever going to dump me again. I dumped them first. Because it affected me. You know what I'm saying? And for the most part, I think that was true for the rest of my dating lives until I met my wife. Because that's just how I didn't want to feel that pain again. I didn't want to get hurt. And see, but when I experienced God's love, true love, that totally healed me. It made me so I could maybe trust again. And to me, the only thing worse than somebody not loving you back if somebody faked their love. I hate fake love. You know what I'm saying? When somebody fakes it. You know, the test of love, you know, when I was a kid, and I've always remembered this, the test of love is to let your dog off the chain and see if he stays home. You know what I mean? We always had some dogs. I had bird dogs and coon hounds. We always let the bird dogs run every night. That was my job. I had to take the collar off the dog because we kept them on a chain so they wouldn't run, you know, go off hunting on their own. And that dog would run off for a little bit, but he'd always come back. I don't know if he loved me or he just liked to eat. One of the two, I can't remember. He probably liked to eat. But I didn't let my coon dogs go. They'd have went to the timber and they wouldn't have come back until, I don't know when they'd have come back. You know, but them bird dogs would come back. And see, that's a test of love. You can't make somebody love you. If you're in a relationship where you feel you can try to control the person and try to make them love you, it doesn't ever work. It's going to make you feel like a doormat. It's not going to help you. But that's why we need to get to the place of understanding God's true love. See, rejection holds us in fear and bondage. And, you know, the scripture says there that Paul was convinced. We need to be convinced of God's love in our life. And that was a revelation for me, because I always thought somewhat love was based on performance, and there's a lot of people live that way. A lot of girls, you know, feel that, you know, they didn't get the proper love from their father, so then they have to work for love, and they do things they shouldn't do to kind of find people that will love them. And see, what that does, they may get kind of love, but it's not real love. But see, God's love has no conditions on it. He just loves us. And He wants us to experience that love. And He will never make you love Him back. He'll never make you do that. But it's wise to do so. See, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, right? But see, it's our responsibility to love Him back, and that's how we get the true love that the Bible says overwhelmingly conquers, because love never fails. See, God's love just doesn't conquer, but it overwhelmingly conquers. And we need to get to the place where we can walk in that kind of love, and we can only do it by God's grace and by God's Spirit living inside of us. Because nobody can love like that. We weren't made that way due to the frailties of our flesh and all these things, because if we can walk in true love can never be hurt or injured. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to be? When you get to the place in your life where you can just see somebody and you just love them, even though they spit on you like Jesus was, or beat you, and you could still love them back, wouldn't that be powerful? That's the God kind of love. That's the love that He wants us to try to walk in. See, true love like that will never give up or get offended. True love will always love the object of His affection. It will never walk away. It'll never walk out. It'll never turn His back. It'll always come for you. And that's the most important thing that we have to understand, is that no matter where we get in our life, that God will always come for us. He will always look for us, because He wants to show His love to us. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It goes through many things. In the first part, there's seven different things. And then the last part, I didn't count them all out. But, you know, to me, nothing means no thing. Not even us can separate us from the love of God. God will love us no matter what, no matter what we do, no matter where we've been. But what I have found out in my life is that to be able to complete the connection, we need to love God back. We need to love Him back. You know, sometimes we take the people that love us for granted. Have you ever done that? You know, we just take it for granted. We think they're always going to be there, and they're always going to, you know, love us no matter what. And granted, God does. But there comes a time in a relationship that we need to start loving back. In electricity, you need the return wire to complete the flow. You can have all the power coming to you, but until you return that love, you're never really going to be able to tap in and really experience the flow of God's love in your life. And we need to get to the place where we yield ourselves and humble ourselves and ask God just to come in. And the way that we do it is that love needs to be an action. You know, if we don't act on our feelings of love, we probably never would have gotten married. You know, when I saw my wife, if I never, you know, I had feelings for her. Still do. But, you know, I can have those feelings and I can walk around, and still we would have never been married yet today if I would not have acted upon those feelings, right? The only way I was able to tap in and really help that love relationship is when I let her ask me out on a date. No, just kidding. No, it's when I pursued her and when I went after her. And we need to go after God. We need to go after God and really show that we really do love Him. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, you're not going to be perfect, but we should start to try to, you know, I know some things, I don't remember them all, but I know some things my wife doesn't like, you know, and I do them still sometimes just to get a row out of her because it's kind of fun, you know. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not really. I'm just that way sometimes. I don't know why. I like playing with around danger. But, you know, if you really love somebody, you wouldn't want to do anything to hurt them, would you? On purpose. And see, if we know what God says in the Word that He would prefer, you know, that we didn't do, and prefer is a strong word, you know, we should try to do that and do it out of love. Not because we're trying to get His love, but it's because we love Him. See, there's a difference in that relationship. See, I don't obey God to get Him to love me. He already loves me. I obey God because I love Him back. And if we could just get those wires connected in our head, it would change our relationship and our approach to Christianity. And we'd start to walk in a level of freedom that's going to make the devil nervous. Because he doesn't want us to be free. He wants us to stay bound up. So, we need to act or respond to the love of God. And if you've never done so, I encourage you to just kind of spend some time with Him and just reevaluate your relationship. And I think that's only a wise thing to do. I think there would be less divorce if people would reevaluate their relationships and understand, you know, where we're at now and where we used to be. I mean, wife always tells me I used to buy her flowers all the time. You know, and but it was handy. On the streets of Denver, they just sold them right on the street. I just pull in, flip them some money, and take off, you know. Didn't really have to work at it. Now I just get her Pillsbury, and what's the other one you like, Gold Bond? I can't remember. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to get in trouble here. But, you know, but to be able to, you know, respond to God's love, and I just, my goal today was the fact that never doubt that God will ever stop loving you. You know, let's pray.